And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your King is coming. Behold, your King is coming to you. This is our entree into this great and holy week as we again seek to recall and better understand all that was done to accomplish our salvation. Your King is coming to you. Now, of course, kings don't really capture our imaginations. As I've noted before, we're a nation born from the rejection of monarchy, the rejection of notions like nobility or royalty inherited. But I think we need to pause and remember that in the ancient world, kings were loved, at least the good ones. They were charged with defending their people against the enemy, and the good ones went out to battle with their armies. They were charged with upholding justice, and the good ones saw to it that the good was rewarded and that wickedness was punished. And they were thought to represent the best of their people, an ideal to aim for, a character to embody. So your King comes to you. That is abundant good news if he is a good king. No wonder the people waved their branches and whooped and hollered that day outside Jerusalem. But we also have to acknowledge that Jesus is not a king of this world, even if he came to do a king's work. By the time we get to Friday this week, we will have again heard Jesus pointedly tell Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." His kingdom does not abide by the rules of this world's kingdoms. He doesn't at all behave like this world's kings do. And yet, he is anointed king, he is the rightful heir of David, and he has taken his throne. Still, consider that image of him riding up to Jerusalem on the donkey. Could anything seem less kingly? He had no worldly grandeur or power. His followers were a ragtag bunch at best, far from the best sort of people. He had no army with him. He levied no taxes. He held no territory. And yet he was come, he is come, to exercise his royal prerogative. And you might say, well, what is that? Well, he has come to you with pardon. The kings of this world punish, but your King Jesus, he pardons. He releases. He has come to fight for you, not against the powers of flesh and blood, but against the spiritual hosts of wickedness. And why? Because he loves you. This is his power. This is his rule, love. And love comes where it is needed, regardless of the cost. Behold, your King is coming. Jesus rode up to Jerusalem that Sunday afternoon, knowing that he was not wanted by many who were there, no matter the enthusiasm of the crowds for his signs. You might remember that some 6 months earlier, the Pharisees had tried to stone him. The Sanhedrin had let it be known that if anyone knew Jesus' whereabouts during the festival, they were to report it to them. The Sanhedrin and the leaders didn't want Jesus because they thought he was a rival to their power. Jesus rode up to Jerusalem that afternoon in love, even though he knew that many of those who did want him, shouting their hosannas and blessed is the Son of David, even the King of Israel, he knew that many of them wanted him for the wrong reason. They were looking for someone to make Israel great again, someone who would get rid of the cursed Romans, who would save the nation from crooked and self-interested politicians. But that was not what he was come for. It was come in love to redeem all. Jesus rode up to Jerusalem that afternoon, knowing all that would happen. He already knew his betrayer. He already knew how the disciples would scatter, how Peter would deny even knowing him. As Jesus rode toward the city gate and perhaps saw the tower of the Roman garrison across the temple courtyard, he already knew how Pilate would wash his hands, how the scourge would lash at his back, how the nails would pierce his hands and feet. He knew it all, and he still rode on because that's what love does. Do I need to mention that there are times when we're not so sure that we actually want Jesus, or times when we want Jesus for the wrong reasons ourselves? And yet he still comes to us, and he comes to you as King because that's what love does. He comes to you in humility, righteous, and having salvation, because you need redemption. The truth of Scripture is that we are all under the power and authority of the accuser, Satan, unless we are ransomed and bought back. We could not pay the price ourselves, for we had nothing with which we could pay. So Christ, as our King, gave himself as the ransom price. And thus we were delivered from the kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. Jesus comes to you having set aside his glory because you need grace. You need the free and undeserved gift of God's goodwill and mercy. For nothing we could do, nothing we can say, nothing we can offer can earn God's favor. We are broken. We are willful. You and I, we just aren't good enough. But Jesus, innocent and righteous, comes to us with the free gift because that's what love does. Jesus comes to us found in fashion as a man, taking on the form of a slave because we need life. Now, you and I, we know that viscerally. We see death at work all around us. At times, we even feel it in our bones. None of us can go on forever. Bodies wear down. The spirit departs. Dust we wore, and to dust we will return. But when God first breathed life into Adam, and he became a living being, God did not intend for him to die. God is a God of the living. He wants us to have life. And so he sent his Son, our King, to bring us life, to bring us his life, eternal, reconciled, at peace. He gives up his life so that you and I can share it, because that's what love does. Jesus comes to us obedient, even to death, death on the cross, because we need love. We need his love. We need his love, which is full and genuine and unchanging with warmth and affection. We need his love, which ever and always seeks what is good and what is right and what is truly beneficial for us. His love gives us what we need, not counting the cost to himself. His love embraces us, not because we are lovable, but because he seeks to make us lovely, adorning us with every gift of grace and of the Spirit. His love does not vary. He never abandons us. He rejoices over us so that we never need to fear that he will cast us away, because that's what love does. It endures. It holds fast. It always seeks and reconciles and forgives. Behold, your King is coming, because that's what love does. Your King took to the battlefield alone to stand against sin, death, and the devil, and to vanquish them once and for all. Your King establishes justice and righteousness, fulfilling it in himself to share it with you. Your King is the fullness of what we were created to be, and in him you've been given new life as a member of his body and of the household of God. Your King comes to you righteous and having salvation. That's the drama of this day and the joy to see that love, that Jesus comes to those who need it, who need him, whether they know it or not, whether they even think they want it or want him or not. Love has come to you in Christ, my friends. So receive him and rejoice. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen. The hymn is 441.